Greet you in the name of the Lord this morning. I'm going to depend on the little visual things this morning for the message. Should have had that just a little lower, but so everybody can see it out there. Originally, I had prepared this message for a talk at Bible school for a prayer circle, and. So I'm thinking that you may have heard me talk on this subject before, some of you. Some of you wouldn't have. I'm not sure who all was there when I gave this. But I have expanded it some, because there you're only allowed about 15 or 20 minutes. So I've expanded it some and developed it a little more. And I thought it would... I felt led to speak on this subject this morning. We all are creatures of habit. And as we see, there'll be some of this is good. Some of it can be detrimental. Some of it may not be good. But we tend to become... what we practice. To define the word habit, the dictionary says ordinary course of conduct, general condition or tendency formed or acquired by use. Also, the dictionary has an interesting word, my dictionary at least had. The word was habitude. I don't know if you ever come across that word before. It's in the dictionary. It combines the word habit and attitude, and the word is habitude. And this is what it means: customary manner or mode. And so when we think of habits, habits are developed. And not all... we're going to be looking at three areas this morning: good habits, poor habits, and bad habits. So not all habits are bad or poor. And all habits tend to become our way of life. You know, as we develop things that we do customarily, these tend to become our life. I'd like to look at some scriptures that talk about this. First of all, some scriptures that talk about wrong habits and their results. And then toward the end of the message, I want to bring in some scriptures that would help us to overcome habits that are less than good. Turn with me to Proverbs. No, that's not what I want first. Jeremiah. I'd like to look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13. And verses 23. And it goes like this: can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's the idea there is that when when evil becomes a habit, it's very, very hard to change it. In fact, he compares it with the idea of a dark person changing his skin, or a leopard, an animal, his spots. It's okay. Turn ahead in Jeremiah then to chapter 22. And this is verse 21. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. And so we find then that he's just saying there that that disobedience to him, God is speaking here, disobedience to him is their habit. It's what they're used to. It's what they've been accustomed to, and so they have this. Now to Isaiah, a few verses. Starting at, let's see, turn to Isaiah 4. He pronounces some woes here. In verse 18, he says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. What I thought of in that passage especially was the idea of drawing sin with a cart rope. Almost like it's binding, like they would, this sin was bound to them with a rope, and wherever they'd go, it was with them. And that's what happens when sinful desires become habits, is that we, wherever we go, we take them with us. And okay, and then Romans 8 is some other verses I wanted us to look at. That's Romans 8, starting at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The thought there is bondage, and habits can become binding, as we'll see a little later. When I typed this, I started out with good habits at the top of the page, and I thought, well, I'd like to end up there. I didn't want to end up on such a negative note, and so I starting at the bottom of the page here. So that's why I'm down there. Bad habits. Bad habits are addictive. Other habits, probably even good habits and poor habits perhaps are too, but especially bad habits are addictive. If you notice the acrostic there on this side, having a binding influence totally. And that's what bad habits do. And I've listed those on there that you see. Illicit drugs, tobacco products, alcoholic dependence, rock and country music, pornography, and illicit sexual activity. There was one that I had in my notes and I forgot to type it on there, and that was compulsive gambling. And these things can become, are very addictive. Some of them were, the first three probably were not really, I hope at least, none of us are addicted to these. Rock and country western music, with the way technology is, and it's all around us when you go to town, or if you happen to listen to the news or whatever, and things come on like this, this kind of music is addictive. It can come from careless listening habits. Pornography and illicit sexual activity, starting with that kind of starts with pornography, and that's also very it's all around us, and especially with technology and the use of the computer and use of internet. This can there are many men who are Christian people who sometimes get caught up in this. You've heard of that. Ministers and people that confess that they have a problem with some of this. And so even though these are things I hope that we're free from, yet they're in our society. It's like it's all around us, and so we need to be careful. There's none of us here that are above falling for things like this. The Bible says, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And so we need to always be on our guard, because it's all around us. Compulsive gambling, the one I don't have up there, but I thought of that. And I have some questions too about what about scratch tickets? You know, you can go to the convenience store and give them a dollar or two and get this little scratch card, and you scratch off the little blanks there, and you could win $5, $10, $15, $20. We see this in town all the time. We sometimes have coffee with a couple of the bus drivers, and you go into this convenience store, and people come in all the time and they buy these little scratch cards and scratch them off. What about door prize drawings? And some make a difference if you pay to have a drawing, or if there's just simply like a door prize. It doesn't cost you anything, but does that justify it? I think those seemingly innocent little things like door prizes and things like that, where you put your name in a slot or in a box, these things can lead. You know, they may soften our ideas about gambling, and it could lead to more of the compulsive gambling. A week or so ago, I was in the grocery store and made a little purchase, and there were two of the clerks were standing there, ladies I know real well. We go in there quite a bit, and I've actually hauled these ladies' children on my bus, so I know them fairly well. And they're friendly, and talk to us. I made this purchase, and they rang it up, and it was $7.77. And both of them said, "Oh, that's lucky. You should buy a lottery ticket today. That's really a lucky number." Well, that's how people look at these things. And make no mistake about it, we get caught up in some of this stuff and any of these things, and they become our focus. They'll have a binding influence totally. And we'll end up being in bondage to those kind of things. Everyone see all right there? Poor Ammons. And this one probably is the one that maybe bothers us and we're more apt to be caught up in or hampered by than what you would call the bad habits. But it is, notice again the acrostic there, having a best intention thwarted. These that I've listed, procrastination, slothfulness, casualness, tardiness, inferior reading material, careless attitude, undisciplined computer use, and I've added a couple there too, complaining, gossip. Those are things that perhaps become habitual, and we get caught up in, and the first thing you know, this seemed like just the way we are. And procrastination, well, maybe it isn't so bad. You know, finally we get it done. Put it off, and some people talk about the old proverb, if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. But procrastination, slothfulness, careless attitude, tardiness, casualness, all of those become habits. And it becomes habitual if we allow that to stay with us. And these are the kind of things that they hamper our usefulness for the service of Christ in the church. You know, we're really hampered if we are caught up and this becomes our way of life. These become habitual, and not only that, but if we have these kind of habits, they could lead, and perhaps eventually would lead to bad habits because of our carelessness and because of our casual attitude toward life and things of that nature. And not only that, but it seems like habits like this are something that is would portray a poor testimony to those around us. You know, always late, if we're just so casual, nothing matters. If we're lazy, not doing our work properly. I also have listed there inferior reading material. You know, sometimes we're caught up in things that, and reading books that really, maybe they're not so bad. Maybe they're not so good either. Maybe this, you know, it's just, and this is true especially of some of these so-called Christian romance novels. You know, it just seemed like they're, and I haven't read any for many years, but it just seemed like they're all the same and end up the same. And it's, you know, we can get people have shelves full of those things, and it's something that they just eat up, you know, it becomes a habit. read that kind of things. And so we have poor habits. Sometimes we make excuses. Well, that's just our weakness. You know, it's something you have to live with. That's just the way I am. But really, a lot of these things become habitual, and they're just they're just habits. And the more we do them, the more it has us caught. And now let's look at the positive. Good habits. And again, the acrostic, having a better interest than before. And I've listed these: prayer, Bible reading, courtesy, promptness, good work ethic, sound reading material, obedience to trivial laws. And you could, any of these lists, you could probably add some. Good habits can be developed. It seems like all habits are might be under that category too. Poor and bad habits develop, but when you think of good habits and how we can develop them, and that's what I want to look at for the last part of the message. How can we develop good habits? Prayer, Bible reading and study. You know, if it's good to have a reading schedule, it's good for me. I mean, I don't know how you do with your Bible reading, but I found many years ago that if I didn't go with a schedule for reading, I just didn't get it done. And so that's why I use a Bible reading schedule that gets me through the Bible in a year. The Bible, even in the King James Version, is fifth grade reading level. And if you read 15 minutes a day, every day, you'll get through in a year. Some are slower readers, so say 20 minutes, even if a half hour. But a Bible reading ought to become a habit. Courtesy. This is one that my wife keeps reminding me about. Did you say thank you? No, we need to, I sometimes don't think about it, but it's good to be courteous, to say thanks, to say please. How's that little rhyme? Hearts like doors will open with ease, with very, very little keys. And don't forget that two of these are I thank you and if you please. So courtesy. Courtesy in our driving, promptness. When you set a time, be there. And I know that there's times when, you know, we live in a world where things break down and things can't be done exactly when we say, but we should by all means try to be prompt and to keep our promises. It's a good habit to get into. Good work ethics. I preached this on Labor Day weekend, the little message we had about good work ethics and good occupational things. Sound reading material. And here's where we can make a good choice. Because there's a lot of it. You get We got flyers in the mail from Christian Aid Ministries, and they have a lot of good books, very good books, autobiographies of Christian people and how they met difficulties and how they got through things. And these are books that are very beneficial and very good for us to read. It's the testimony of those who found that the Lord was good and would help them. Obedience to trivial laws. I'm not talking about blatant disobedience of the law, like thievery and murder and whatever else you can name that are bad against the law, but where we have a problem sometimes and get caught is the idea of speed laws, stop signs, game laws, seat belts, as mentioned this morning. What's the difference? Do I have to stop at stop signs? You know, they put stop signs in such stupid places. We might think that, you know, the road is wide open. You can see if anyone's coming. Why do you want to stop? Well, there's stop signs there, and we can train ourselves. You have this. We used to hear this when we were real young, even in grade school. Stop, look, and listen. That's what you do at a railroad track. Well, if you concentrate on the stop sign instead of looking down the road both ways, and then after you stop, then look. You can train yourself to stop at stop signs, but a lot of times we'll ignore it or maybe don't see it. I've already been driving. And my wife will say, "Did you know that was a stop sign?" Well, I didn't see it. And I'm not, I don't have a habit of going through stop signs, but sometimes it happens. But it's a good habit to get into, to obey these kinds of things. How can we overcome habits that shouldn't be in our lives? Okay, let's turn to now to Mark. Mark 8, verse 34, Jesus says this: "When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." The word "mortify" there is related to the last verse where Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." The cross, to bear the cross means death to self. It's when we think of mortify also, that has the idea of death or kill. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put on the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off, he says. Mortify. Make dead those wrong decisions and feelings. And how is it? It says in one of the Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's the way we are. If we bear these things in our heart, then we'll, after so long of having them in our hearts and in our minds, we'll begin to act on them. And so these are it's wrong habits and how to overcome them, to put them off, to mortify, to take up the cross, crucify the flesh, the old life, and put on the new man, he says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, then a few verses that help us develop good habits. Philippians 4, verse 8, familiar verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. 2 Timothy. Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Remember when Paul Shirk was here, how he told us about this verse? All scripture is given by doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. And, to develop good habits, we can do that. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes effort. Developing good habits and getting rid of bad habits and poor habits. It's not something that comes just automatically or just anyway. It takes determination. It takes some work. We're not always successful the first time, and sometimes it may go a while before we can get rid of bad or develop good. But we need to put our hearts into this, and perhaps I can illustrate it this way. Some of you have seen me do this before. How do you get rid of a habit? Do you just taper off, you know, just a little bit at a time? So we can do that. So what do you have? There you have a bit of it left. And so take some more, and a bit is still there. And if you take this off, there it is. It's still there. So, does tapering off work? Here's what works. The Bible tells us this. take up the cross and crucify the flesh and follow me. And that's the secret of not only getting rid of bad habits, but it's the secret also of developing good ones. So I hope this can be an encouragement to us. I know in studying this, it's always been an encouragement to me to realize that God makes a way, and God is with us, and we can rely on Him, and we can trust Him to help us. Let's kneel together. Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can rely on you to build good habits in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you have made it possible that we can get rid of those things that are detrimental to us as well. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to honor you and to be more diligent in looking into your word and interested in developing habits that will benefit our lives and those around us and be a witness and a testimony to those that we rub shoulders with from day to day. Father, we pray that you would direct us through the day. Help us to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.